Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Episode 5 of Yellow Jackets, Two Truths and a Lie, is over, but we are just getting started talking about it here on Post Show Recaps. It's the Yellow Jackets podcast on Post Show Recaps. I'm Jess Sterling. What do we feel? We feel the need to recap Yellow Jackets. What do we hear? We hear the voice of Grace Leader joining us on this podcast.
Hi, Jess. I'm here. I feel like our, you know, our friendships are a little weird, you know, all the murdering and kidnapping and, you know.
It's affecting okay. Our friendship, yeah.
But that's okay.
Everyone has faults.
Yeah, everyone has faults, yeah.
This episode was really fun. I gotta say, I'm liking the pace of season two so far. I feel like, obviously, we came out with, like, a big bang, but, like, spoiler alert, go watch the episode if you haven't, because I'm about to like really spoil some big stuff. Misty and Crystal, Kristen, sorry.
Yeah, we were calling her the wrong name. Who knew? She was Crystal the, the missile?
Crystal the pistol.
The pistol, sorry. Yeah, it probably would make sense if the words rhymed.
Yeah.
I am pretty psyched that we got the answer to the biggest mystery on the show, Jess, which is obviously... what the heck is Van's store? We learned she just sells VHSs, but she's also digitalizing VHSs. So,
yeah, the digitalizing makes more sense to me. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, as evidenced by the past due bills that we see immediately.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah. I don't know if hot off the press. Seems like she has maybe one customer. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who's like, oh, who is this? I'm obsessed with Parker Posey.
Fun episode. I mean, a lot of, I feel like maybe an episode that asks more questions than it gives us answers to, but that's okay. That's fine. I like that. You know, we see Lottie seeing the Antler Queen. Javi speaks for the first time only to Coach Ben and says, she told me not to tell anybody. So yeah. Lots of questions, but that's what to expect about halfway through.
Well, we also got, I would say, like a half answer, if you will, of what Travis was saying Nat was right about. Now, we don't exactly know what she means when she says, like, oh, the wilderness is, you know, it's in us. It's around us. We brought it back with us, this type of stuff. But we have answers to what she was imagining when we saw the paramedics, when she had that, like, vision. That was obviously this incident. So sure. I do feel like we got some answers. But, of course, yeah, some more questions as well. But I'm very excited because the baby, the bebé, is on the way. And yeah. I feel like this is going to be one of those moments of, I know we talk about like, oh, there's before they ate Jackie and after they ate Jackie. I feel like the baby is going to be a kind of similar type of thing.
Yeah. Badge and edge, which is before, no, bedge, before eating Jackie and after eating Jackie.
An edge.
Edge. the baby, Lottie's talking to the baby, Ty's just like, come on, she didn't hurt anybody. It's like, I don't know, Ty, but
not cool, fine. Ty
is not sleepwalking. Something is working there. So yeah, I was really worried the baby was going to be born in the snow. And I was like, this show, I'm like, that's fine. Like it can happen. Baby born out in the wild, like actually born in the wilderness. But alas, seems like the baby shall be born in the cabin, presumably. Yeah. I do like Shauna's like, I don't know, it just really sucks being pregnant. And Ty's like, it's okay, I'll be over soon. Without like, yeah, but then there'll be a baby.
Then there'll be a baby, Ty. Like, what do you mean it'll be over soon? Then there's a little baby you have to take care of. Yeah. I don't know. I guess that is kind of realistic for how old they are and like how their brains are working.
She's saying that like the problems you're having with pregnancy will be over. But I'm actually like kind of joking about the delivery because she's actually trying to comfort Shauna in this moment.
Yeah. Presumably this has been, I assumed at least a few weeks since we last saw them, considering I felt like Shauna looks considerably more pregnant. And we hear from Ty that this is like the first time in a long while she's been comfortable falling asleep, meaning like, okay, it hasn't just been a few days. It feels like it's been at least a few weeks here.
Yeah, the prayer circle thing seems to be something that's like happening and people are going to, maybe more people are checking out. So I think I would agree with you that we got a smidge of a time jump here.
Which I'm liking. I am liking the progression of time, because we spent a lot of time in the beginning of the show in the like just after the plane crash. And we know we have like, what, 18, 19 months we have to fill up. So it's nice to kind of jump ahead a little bit here and there.
Well, speaking of fill up, Randy filled up that.
What a segue. Speaking of.
Thank you. I feel like that's, I think I'm learning from Mike Bloom, who's a segue king, but also the content. The type of content we're talking about. But I mean, it is just strawberry lotion. So.
Yeah. So speaking of, let's do a quick plot recap here. Set the stage and then we'll discuss everything. Let's play a game of two truths and a lie. Lottie has formed a tree cult, Shauna pretends to have an affair with Randy, and Crystal falls off a cliff after Misty divulges her deepest, darkest secret to her bestie. Oh wait, they're all true! Javi is back, but won't speak to tell the group where he's been, or more importantly, who he has been with. Everyone except Shauna, and including Ty due to Vance persuading, is joining Lottie for daily breathing rituals in which they listen to the wind and whatnot. Shauna is freaking out, both due to Lottie's involvement in her pregnancy, but also because she is about to pop. Misty tells Kristen, about destroying the plane's emergency transmitter, and Crystal falls to her death as Misty's intimidating threats cause her to stumble back off of a cliff. She takes advantage of an incoming blizzard to pretend they got separated, and at the same time, Shauna goes into labor and struggles to get back to the cabin with Ty. In the present day, Callie deduces that Matt is an undercover detective and feeds him false info about her mother sleeping with Randy Walsh, which Shauna runs with. Detective Matt uses his super sniffer to suss out that Randy's stuff is actually strawberry lotion. Van and Ty catch up. Ty found some Oxycontin that may or may not be Van's late mother's from years ago. And Ty's alter makes an appearance and kisses Van. Misty and Walter finally find the cult compound, only for Nat to tell her to leave. Walter divulges that he knows Misty helped kill Adam, and she terminates their relationship before attempting to join the cult herself. Speaking of the cult compound, Nat sneaks into Lottie's office and finds incriminating evidence against Lottie, but unfortunately, none of the cultists seem to care. Lottie leads her into a ritual to recover what Travis meant when he said Nat was right. Natalie says they brought something back with them. A darkness is within them. And that is what happened on Season 2, Episode 5 of Yellow Jackets, Grace.
Three truths. I love that game.
he's like, oh, I cheated. It's like, what? That's not even the game, Walter.
Yeah, no, that's not the game. I played a lot of Two Truths and a Lie in my day as a summer camp professional. I played a lot of it. Where do you want to start? There's a lot here.
There is a lot here. Yeah. Let's stick with Misty and Walter, because we were already kind of talking about the two truths and a lie of it all. Is this the end of Elijah Wood?
No, absolutely not. He knows everything. He's spot on. He's like, so you guys all have something to do with Adam, huh? Like, I investigated your very bad lie. I do like the running bit that gets established in this episode about Misty not being a very good liar. And I feel like that is very interesting to me in terms of she does a lot of acting this episode, because she tries to convince Kristen that she did not actually destroy the
I was just airplane. Kidding, bestie.
I was just kidding, and she catches her. So it establishes that, but also she tries to lie to Walter, although it's like about the previous thing, and he calls her up on it, and then she's like, okay, I'm leaving, and then she does an acting job to get into the compound and saying like, oh no, I'm lost, which like actually I guess is true. She's like had to walk.
She is lost,
you know. But I think that will be very interesting in terms of her coming back with the information about Kristen. She might get some cover due to the fact that Shauna's having a baby. But, you know, it should be very interesting to see that, like, it, you know, certainly plausible that they could think, Kristen fell off the edge of the, she just like, it was a blizzard and she was walking and she fell off the edge of the cliff.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing is actually discovering the body, right? Because even in the moment that Misty goes, climbs down and does, stay in a lab, which
the way
is
the show
true.
Can- I know the way the show can, like, there's some comedy while she's trying to do CPR on the girl that she caused to fall off the cliff.
Yeah.
Tremendous.
Yeah. And I love how she goes, Crystal. Oh, Kristen.
And it's nice to use her, the name that she would like to be. Yeah.
But yeah, like the thing is even as she is about to leave in this blizzard, you already see the body start to get covered a bit. So
yeah,
because part of me,
that's food, thinking, baby. Now, Misty, come on. You got to go. Come on. What are you doing? Yeah.
Part of me is wondering, like, are they going to eat Crystal? But also, are they going to even find Crystal? Because
she'll
she's
be very preserved.
She'll be very preserved. Assumingly, they'll find her because it seems like this is the poop chute, right? This is where they all go to dump the poop bucket.
Well, Misty does say sometimes she just puts it wherever.
And
Misty doesn't have to be on poop duty quite often. So,
yeah. I mean, I think, are you okay? Because I have a question for you. It seems like they might be stacking the deck against some of these people. Because it seems like Misty and Crystal get the, you know, no pun intended, shitty end of the stick more often than not.
Do you think, is this like they, I don't know that the cards, they just kind of turn over the cards and they seem to know what they mean. Is it just like,
I think two is number two.
Oh, that does make sense. That's right. But there's a lot of cards. Like, that's a lot of chores. I was hoping that, like, they do, like, oh, number two. It's like, yeah, that's two. Two is poop duty. The next week, it's like, I pulled the, you know, five of hearts. It's like, that's also poop duty. That's
yeah,
so weird.
Somehow fives. No. There's five of us that poop today. Five is now poop duty.
Well, I do think, I think where we could see, like, I feel like Misty continuing to offer up to do, although she offers it up to do Kristen's chores, but the fact that she might, like, constantly willing to just, like, oh, I'll just take that duty duty and then somebody, like, sussing out the, like, it's very weird that Misty is choosing to do the, to keep offering to do this and she's trying to, like, cover it up sort of poorly. I could see something there. I definitely think they have to eat Crystal. I think you gotta eat Crystal. I think, because, like,
well, I will say, despite the fact that they had a blizzard this episode, and it, we'll get back to that later, because I do think there is something to it being like some kind of magical blizzard almost, but supernatural or whatever. But I will say, like, we do see a few other times this episode, like the icicles on the cabin seem to be dripping. Like, I feel like we're heading towards warmer weather.
Yes, I caught that too. So I did think that we might actually already be close to spring, because it snows. The night that Jackie dies is the first snow. And then it has been a few months of a time jump, right?
Yeah, so I'm looking right now, theoretically, right? If we know that Shauna got pregnant in around May, 9 months from then, if we're going to say she went full term, although technically you're pregnant for 10 months, but that's a whole different thing. It's around March or April is where we would be, which for the Canadian wilderness and the snow and everything kind of makes sense, I mean, that it would melt.
Yeah, I mean, certainly, could, like, there's parts of Canada as we're, like, recording, like,
in April,
late April, they're still getting snow, but certainly it could, like, we just had a quite a bit of a warm spell, so it could be warm enough that things are starting to, so I feel like, yeah, Misty might think she has some cover, but as the, as everything starts to melt, and that also might be a thing where she realizes, like, as it starts to get warmer, like, you know, at least while it's winter, the body is, like, preserved, but not as it gets warmer. And, like, if they're going to eat it, if they're going to eat Crystal, they should go find that body. So I'm actually, like, because when Crystal, I think we all thought, like, oh, I think Melissa Woodward was like, who are all these red shirts? And she's, like, watching the first episode of, like, all these people are going to die. They're red shirts, clearly. And when Misty reveals that she destroyed the transponder and then, Crystal does not cool with it, I'm like, oh no, that's real bad news. I was not expecting her to die immediately.
Oh, really? See, as soon as they started playing the game of, let me tell you my deepest, darkest secret, I was like, uh-oh, Misty is going to divulge what she did. Crystal's not going to be okay with it, and she's going to shove her off a cliff, which isn't exactly what happened, but we got pretty close to that.
The way she just, like, she's like, I'm kidding. I just was not expecting in this exact moment for it to happen. So,
but it was a really great moment. And I do think there is something to, I guess the question is, how hungry are they? Right. Because, we know the bear meat is running out, and Javi did end up stealing some.
Yeah.
Javi was the one who took it.
The Javi poop. How do you poop in the,
I still think that was Thais's altar that did that.
Yeah.
But we know they were running out of bear meat. We know more time has passed since the last time we saw them. So they could be hungry enough to eat Crystal. If Misty really wants to cover her tracks, all she has to do is volunteer on poop duty, climb down, move the body, right? Move the body somewhere where she doesn't think someone will find it.
Oh my God, what a mess. Like literally a mess and also a mess. I think that the stuff is, I think the Crystal Misty stuff was really fun. It's like the way we got the, like, that they were so obsessed with theater. And then that's how Crystal catches that Misty is lying. It's like, you've never been a good actor. Like, we act together. Like, we do acting stuff all the time. You're a really bad actor. I thought that was, like, actually really fun for a character who's only been around for, like, 5 episodes and then died.
Yep.
That was really fun. The Misty Walter stuff, I definitely don't think this is the end of Walter. I think it's a very fun twist for him to have to basically have caught on to everything. And I feel like this is the most we're seeing, I think, Misty perhaps not on her game. Like, she's kind of found somebody who's like just as capable as she is, in a way, maybe even more capable in some ways, because he's not caught up in doing anything illegal. Like, she has been doing all this illegal stuff. So the fact that she's like kind of trying to insulate herself into the cult, I think it's very, because I was a little disappointed when, like, you know, even last episode when they show up to go to the farmer's market,
they're
like,
they don't see that at all.
And they don't go and see Nat. And then we do see them, and Nat's like, no, I'm fine, I'm doing my own thing, like, just get out of here. And Misty's like, oh my God, how did I not see this coming? And so to have Misty trying to, like, infiltrate into the cult, I think will be really fun to have Nat.
This is something that I'm really enjoying about the show, is that these people aren't infallible, right? We see it with multiple characters this episode, where Misty cannot lie very well. She also didn't even know Lottie was, like, around these parts. And she mistakenly thinks, oh, Nat is being held against her will. That's the first thing cults want you to do, is cut up all your best friends. So then with Shauna, you know, obviously her thinking she's smarter than detectives to be able to kind of masquerade this affair as being with Randy, even though obviously that was Callie's doing. So the thing that I really, really enjoy about that is that the characters aren't necessarily masterminds. They make a lot of mistakes. Let's stay in the woods and let's talk about the Shauna situation with her and Ty, and kind of also looping in Lottie and the cult, and not, you know, the beginnings of a tree cult is what Shauna refers to it as. I did feel really awful for teen Shauna this episode, mm-hmm. because Ty and her felt like they were a united front, Grace, in terms of being against Lottie's like very supernaturally, like, faith-based type of approach to things. They're more logistical, more down to earth. And Ty, to make Van happy, and also I think is underreported to, like, help her stop sleepwalking, has been attending these breathing rituals. I don't even know what you want to call these like healing circles.
Like morning prayer breathing activities. Yeah. I think an underrated duo on the show is young Ty, Jasmine Savoy Brown, and young Shauna. I want to get the name right, but I don't have it in front of me. But I think they're such a fun duo, and I really like them. And I think that the you know, for so much of season one, we were focused on Shauna and Jackie, right? Like, they were the friends, and obviously Jackie's gone, but I do really love the Shauna, Sophie, Lise. I really love the two of them together. I do love their, like, the bond that they have, but I also, it's so relatable that Shauna's going through this giant thing, but at the same time, Thais is going through this thing, that the things that she's doing, that Shauna's feeling tormented by a thing that's helping Thaisa, if that makes sense. Like, not directly, but Thaisa's getting help from whatever is happening with Lottie. She says this. She's like, I don't believe it. I don't believe that it's, like, exactly this, but I'm going to hold on to something while I'm, like, able to sleep at night, you know? So I really like that dynamic. I'm a little surprised. We got some really great, like, Melanie Lynskey, Tawny Cypress stuff in season one, when they get together because Shauna's trying to figure out, like, what's going on with all this blackmail stuff. none of that in this season. And I get that we want Tyson. I do like the Tyson fan stuff, and I'm really intrigued by it. At the same time, again, it's just like the one piece that I like am missing the most from the show is like, I love all of these actors and all these characters, and I want them like interacting a little bit more than they have been. Yeah. I feel like we maybe got close here with like Shauna is going to be with Randy. Randy's been interviewed with Misty. That doesn't seem to like, the idea that Misty was there doesn't really ever come. I guess I don't know if Randy.
It comes up very briefly where Randy says he was talking to the police on a boat, the FBI's on a boat about
but
Natalie.
Misty doesn't get flagged.
Misty and he doesn't get named.
He would know Misty, right? Too.
Yeah. Well, yeah. He didn't see her.
So yeah. They're just that. But I did really love. I thought like in terms of the acting here, I thought that Sophie Nielsen and Jasmine Savoy Brown. I really, really loved the conversations that they were having in the woods about them both struggling with the thing, and like the thing that's hurting, like the thing that is affecting Shauna the most is a thing that like Thaisa is helping Ty. I thought it was so fascinating and so fun. It was really well acted and really well performed.
Yeah, shout out to Sophie specifically, who plays the young Shauna, because she like her like screaming and saying like, you're supposed to back me, you're supposed to be on my side.
Yeah.
She's freaking out. She's about to give birth. She has Lottie, who seemingly lost her mind a little bit, whispering to her stomach, which is creepy in and of itself, especially when you did not consent to it. Especially because Shauna is saying she thinks this baby is like, she's treating it like it's her baby. And Lottie is saying that things that are very concerning, like, oh, you're going to change everything. Like,
ends the prayer breathing circle with a, like, he, you know, a great, he's coming, a great gift or something like that, you know?
Yeah. It's a little, it's very off, and anybody can see that it's a little off. And Shauna just wants Ty to have her back because seemingly everybody else is going to these like prayer circles. Although I will say, I was trying to keep an eye on who was there. Obviously we get this really, we've gotten a few scenes actually with Ty and Akilah about this, about like, oh, why are you going to the prayer circle? Oh, well, Van, you know, asked me to. And Akilah says like, oh, back on JV, when we did soccer, we had these little rituals that we would do, you know, someone would put on their lucky cleats and my lucky shin guards, and we would stand on the line and tip our toes, whatever. And even if we didn't even know if it did anything, you know, it was still something to do. So she says, I think I'm going to keep going to these prayer circles. But I didn't see Javi there. I did see Travis there. Van is there. Misty is there. Mari is there. So, but yeah, you can see where Shauna's coming from, that this is really concerning to her. But on the same side, Ty says, it's helping me. I'm not afraid to go to bed. In fact, this episode, we see her wake up alone because Van is already awake, meaning she slept through the night. And mm-hmm. everything was fine. So yeah, it's really interesting. We're seeing the beginnings of this form. I think this episode, when we see later with Natalie and Lottie at the cult compound, when at the very, very end, when we see Lottie turn, we see the shadow of the Antler Queen. I think the show heavily trying to imply Lottie is the Antler Queen. You viewed it differently?
Yeah, I viewed that Lottie is haunted by the Antler Queen, so she's not the Antler Queen.
Interesting. It's in all of us is the Antler Queen, like Josh is kind of proposing.
Yeah, I guess her shadow and she's seeing it. Well, that's interesting that many of them could be the Antler Queen. That's interesting. Yeah. We also see the Antler Queen in Nat's dream, in her hate, right? In her, like in the thing that she's doing, that she sees the Antler Queen. Somebody sees the Antler Queen.
She
like,
sees the Antler Queen in the plane when she says, we
all died.
Like instead of everyone living on the, or people living on the plane crash, we all died. And then you see the Antler Queen kind of walking down the aisle of the destroyed.
Have they been dead the whole time?
Get out of here, Grace. No, don't start with that nonsense.
It's too like they're in the future, you know, they have kids and, you know, wives and husbands. Yeah. I didn't read it as like Lottie seeing her shadow as the Antler Queen. I saw her being maybe haunted by the Antler Queen. And it could be that like the Antler Queen is nobody, is like a thing that haunts them all. That the thing,
because
that
one of
see,
them presumably was the Antler Queen,
but maybe not. Maybe like the no-eyed man, that's the Antler Queen. Like, what if none of them are the Antler Queen? Anyway, for me, when I saw that, it reaffirmed to me again this idea that I think I'm kind of saying is that, you know, the end of season one, Lottie sacrifices the bear heart, and then they cast, you know, older Lottie, and there, and everyone was like, okay, Simone Kessel were like, okay, Lottie's the Antler Queen. And then you were like, so who's the Antler Queen? And more, I'm like, I don't think, I really think in terms of what you were, I was going to say this earlier when you're talking about, you know, how Misty is caught up in, like, she murdered Jessica Rabbit. She's like, she's done all this bad stuff. I do think that there's a world where, like, is the show, I don't know, like, we're so caught up, we're so invested in, like, Misty, Shauna, Ty, Van, you know, these, we were with Jackie, right? Like, but are these the people who actually, like, lead and do the worst stuff? Mm-hmm. And again, I just go back to that idea that, like, they're the people. Like, there's stuff in the notebook that, like, that is like they're being blackmailed on. And, like, Jeff, probably not to the point that Jeff would be, like, willing to stay with Shauna, I think, like, if it's, like, super, super bad. But I think there's a world where, like, right. Yeah, they are the, like, we're looking at them as the cult leaders. Like, we're not looking at them as cult leaders, but they are. And the idea that, like, Lottie was, like, seemingly set up as a leader, but then left and is haunted by all of this stuff that's happening. It's really fascinating. You know, how much Nat is involved in that, I don't know, because there's so much, you know, we'll get to Nat confronting Lottie at the camp this episode with, like, you know, she's hiding things from you, she's taking your phone. They're like, yeah, we know. We, like, signed up for all of that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah, it really, I think what's important to make note of is seemingly this darkness that Nat is referring to. There's a darkness out there with us or in us. It still is. It feels to me as though all of this is happening. And we hear, I think Misty says it last episode. She says it's been 25 years since we were, in the wilderness, right? Since they've gotten rescued. To me, 25 is like a very big number, right? It's a quarter of a century. Mm-hmm. It is like a very solid number in terms of all of these things start happening again. Ty is now sleepwalking and going into her altar, right? We
see called
Lottie.
It her alter ego, which is good because she does sacrifice dog heads and puts them on an altar. So it really is her alter ego.
It is her altar. Yeah. Alter ego. And Lottie is now seeing visions 25 years later. You know, all of these things seem to be happening simultaneously 25 years removed from when this all happened. Travis, right? He mm-hmm. takes his own life he needs to get close to the darkness this far. So it just feels very convenient that, like, okay, it's not, it's too convenient for it to all be happening at the same time to each of these individual people simultaneously 25 years later. So that is very interesting to me that, like, Natalie is saying there was darkness out there with us or in us, and it's still there, meaning like it followed us out of the wilderness.
So then my theorizing brain, which you'll do a lot with Marissa, but is what caused it to be dormant for 25 years? Like, is there something, and I don't think that like most of the people here have the answer to that of what would have like quelled it and sustained it, but has like somebody been doing something for 25 years that they're no longer doing?
What do you think about this? I'm trying to remember, and I apologize. I am racking my brain in terms of season one knowledge, but the postcards that Jeff sends has the symbol on them.
Yes.
Could it be something where like, you remember when we were kids, you like look in the mirror, you say like, what is it? Something
Bloody Mary.
Bloody Mary three times.
This is a Beetlejuice candy,
three times. Is it like
man.
That? Yeah. Is it like
so
that?
Did someone where awaken use, it with the symbol?
Yeah, you we do use see the Lottie. Symbol in vain. Could be something
her name is
like
Van,
that.
I think.
Could be something like that.
Yeah. Interesting that like, if you don't like it's in there, but there's something that somebody did. I mean, Travis, like he's like, we awakened it. He said he needed to do it and he said he needed to, he was trying to get closer to it essentially, but it's like him killing it. Like that's a big blood. I have to go back to track in the modern day timeline. What's the first sort of blood that gets spilled? Because it does seem to be potentially that like as blood gets spilled, you know, and you talk about the storm, like the storm is kind of happening as Crystal and Mr. That, but it does definitely seem to like, you know, get as soon as Crystal dies. So I do think there could be something to that, whether for 25 years it's been kept dormant because they've all just been living their lives. But as somebody draws the symbol or somebody and Travis dies or something like that,
drips blood.
And I think this gives the most juice to like, well, it's in us. We have to go back to like put it back as well.
Exactly.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And especially I do think before we move to away from Shauna and Ty in the wilderness, when the storm starts and they turn, the way the camera is angled is like we are facing them. We're seeing their reactions to something they're looking at. And it made me wonder. And now they look a little, obviously they're like squinting in the blizzardy cold conditions, but I'm like, what are they seeing? You know what I mean? Right. Are they just seeing a swirling storm? What are they actually seeing? It's something I want to keep my eye on. So yeah, I think there is a certain extent to like sacrifice and bloodletting and all of that that gets wrapped up in the supernatural points of the show. But let's move a little bit on to, where do you want to go next? Do you want to go stop down at Nat at the cult compound?
Yeah. I mean, because I was just saying, I was saying the thing about like, I also think to the point of like Lottie at the compound as well, that like is a role that like, this has actually been working super well for a while. And then it's like, as Travis, like, lets the darkness in and it's like affecting everybody else now, that it's like, oh God, like this is like, then Lottie is like having actual problems, that like this is where Nat's coming back into the picture now of like trying to sneak into the room. I love all the polite cultists being like, you want to come with us, we could walk to the thing, and it's like literally two steps.
And she gets interrupted every 5 seconds trying to get into this dang office.
Yeah.
But yeah, first she gets interrupted being asked if she wants to walk 5 steps together. Then she gets interrupted because Misty is now there. And I love Nat's reaction to like, who is this guy?
Who's this guy? Yeah.
It was very funny.
He's like, I've only heard great things about you. Yeah.
She finally gets in, like you said. And we do know, like, so Lottie in this locked cabinet has a pretty large rifle, right?
Yes, bad. This is bad. They
zoomed in on that baby.
They zoom in on the rifle. Not good. Not good.
And we know that Nat knows how to shoot a gun, so I think that rifle is coming back. She has a bunch of paperwork.
That's not her rifle, is it?
Could it be Lottie's rifle?
Who does she say that? Because what gun did Nat have at the end of last season? I was just wondering if it was like.
Oh, actually, if she took it with her.
Yeah, did they confiscate it? Basically, they confiscate.
We
have to do. We'll do some digging. I'll do some research.
I'm so sorry. You were correct.
No. It definitely could be like Lottie's, but I also think a theory. Like, if I look back and like that's what Nat was going to use to go, and like
I believe
it's like
it was
locked away in the cabin for like protection.
I just think it's interesting that regardless, it is like the same gun that Nat had out in the wilderness. Seemingly, I am not a gun expert, but it's a big gun. It's, you know, looks like a rifle. But yeah, so we see that, which I feel like you're right. It has to come back. We see like all the bank records and everything, the extra phones. And so Nat thinks she has this like smoking gun on Lottie, like, no, guys, don't even know.
The smoking gun, the gun was just left in the cabinet. I'm just...
And none of the other, all the cultists, like you said, are like, we knew that was happening. And Lottie's like, give us a minute. And I felt like this was the most, I know Grace, you and Josh have both said like, the more I learn about Lottie, less I'm afraid of her. And I do think after this episode, I tend to agree a little bit more because after she cuts her own hand in the present timeline and she says, what is this enough? Is this like what you want? And with this whole moment with Natalie, where she's, you know, look into the light, even if it's difficult to do so, think about the last time you saw Travis, all of that stuff. And also, I do want to point out, Lottie says, I learned this technique while I was away, which makes me wonder if she's saying that she learned this while she was in a mental institution in I think it was Switzerland or Sweden or something.
In 98, when she comes back and they send her to the institution. That would track to me. And the idea that it had all come back. And also if she's doing blood sacrifice still there, like, again, that would like, it's keeping it there. That all would track to me. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if we eventually at some point get some more 98 content.
I hope so. Yeah. So we find out that, when she says, we've seen this image before of Travis from Natalie's point of view. And he's like laying in bed shirtless. Well, it turns out they're not at the beach. The beach is just the painting at some kind of like, hotel or motel they're at together, and they're doing drugs, and then they do too much. Nat kind of ODs, and this is when she has these images of like, oh, the crash site, but it's different, they're all dead. She sees us, they didn't make it, none of them, they weren't out there alone. And that's when we see the Antler Queen, and then she gets revived by the paramedics, and that's when she tells Travis like, oh, we brought it back with us. And I, what did you make of when Natalie leans into Lottie's lap, we get a young Natalie instead of Juliette Lewis.
I like, it's like she's like, it's all of this trauma that's like from when you were a teenager. I think Marissa said this on one of the preview pods of like, yeah, the show is like, imagine if all your high school drama like got brought back up in the, you know, now, but like your high school drama is like super bad murder cannibalism.
Yeah. Super traumatic stuff. Yeah.
So I love it. I love that. Like the shot of Nat, like, you know, being on Lottie's lap, and it's actually like, you know, teenage Nat, I think is really beautiful imagery because they're all, you know, struggling with the stuff that happened when they were out there. Their lives would be, you know, would be so different. It's like, we don't know that Nat, you know, would have, you know, drug addiction or, would be going through any of this stuff if they didn't have like gotten the plane crash and ended up in a weird supernatural wilderness.
Yeah. It's fascinating. And I also love the relationships and how difficult they all are, because while Nat and Lottie are opposed a lot of the time, especially what we're seeing now in 1996 with Travis, right? Where they have this confrontation of Travis says, I know that you were trying to trick me with Javi's pants. You did that on purpose. And Nat was just trying to protect him. But Travis says, maybe if I'd found him sooner, he wouldn't be like this. And he would actually be talking to us about
where he was.
And he stomps away and Lottie follows him. And so we know there is this like contentious relationship, but they also relied so much on each other out there that there is this kinship, this bond that they all have built with each other, in that no one else but them knows what they went through. And I felt like that was really seen in this scene with Natalie and Lottie. So I really, really enjoyed it. I think it informs a lot of what we were all thinking in terms of the supernatural side of Yellow Jackets. It's really leaning in that direction now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Javi is... ahead, sorry.
Well, I was just going to say my two leading theories here about like who are the... Like, I do think for the most part, I do think that... Our main core group are the people who will do the worst things, I think, in terms of like, they find, you know, if they find Crystal and be like, well, we're going to eat her, you know? I do think that when Nat says like, we weren't alone out there, I do think, you know, I think like an other's secret, like who was there before, you know, Javi saying she, you know, she told me what to do or whatever. I do think like full on new characters is pretty, that are like humans who like, I think that's a pretty tough sell, especially like this late in the season. I feel like
others, we need,
yeah, like full on others, creepy cult, real people versus things more akin to the no-eyed man,
the antler like
spirits,
queen,
spirits, the antler queen, who are all like spirits who are out there who can inhabit people or make people or give people powers. I do feel like in terms of like who are the, like, I feel like they actually set us up with like who is the antler queen, and I do feel like that's this might be a tricky way to like have to walk out of this of not getting the reveal that like Shauna is the antler queen, and instead it being like at various times depending on which antler the antler queen spirit is inhabiting, they're the antler queen, you know, like that. I feel like the enemy of the show could actually be much more supernatural, like as
than,
these like
than actual
embodiments
physical.
Yes, than like real humans who have like are also living in the Canadian wilderness.
You've just sparked something in my brain.
Well, I'm super interested to hear what like people think, especially on like the deep dive. Like,
yes,
is how do you make that like work? You know,
well,
instead
here's something I'm thinking. Maybe this is too wild, but you never know. Okay, what if there's a parallel here? Season one, we had Sammy saying, "Oh, the woman in the tree," right? It ended up being Thaisa. What if this person that Javi is referring to as she, what if it was a sleepwalking Ty who was helping him, not really knowing she was, and she is, maybe she's not the antler queen, maybe she is, but Javi recognizes that Ty is not Ty in those moments, and Ty is actually the one helping Javi, and that is why when he returns, he can't speak about it. Because he's like, but it's her. Like,
does it line up with the fact that Javi comes back when Ty is no longer sleepwalking?
Yes, because it's around the same time, and also he shows up when Ty and Van are out in the woods. It's Ty who's there, but he probably recognizes that. Oh, it's not the person I know. That's Ty. That's the other one. So
the other, right, yeah, because he's been back as long as Ty. Is they sleepwalk to find the last symbol. That's where they find Javi. They bring Javi back.
Told him to go back or just never return or something, right? I'll find the exact quote.
Anyway, interesting.
But yeah, so she said to not come back, which could have been Ty saying, now it's time to return, you know, right. Or, you know, the Ty's altar, whatever you want to call her. Fascinating. There's something there. And it could be why Javi is not speaking about it, just as like why Sammy wasn't saying.
Pretty fun.
If that's true, is it under our nose the entire time type of thing. I do love your supernatural pick though, because I think I feel like the people who love Lost would be a bit, really? This show has others too, you know? If it was other humans, people. Let's jump a little bit too. We got to talk about this Shauna present day plan created by Callie. Callie finds out that that her BFF there is not actually her BFF and is an undercover cop. And she decides she's going to just, of her own volition, she will lie to the cop and say that her mom is having an affair with Randy. And I love the two very different responses we get from Shauna and Jeff, where Shauna is first, Callie says, oh, I'm going to tell you something, but you can't get upset. Okay. And Jeff is like, yeah. And Shauna's like, absolutely not. No.
Well, and then she says, and she's like, you're getting upset. You said you wouldn't get upset. That's very funny.
Yeah. And then Shauna says, oh, actually you did a good job. And Callie looked so pleased with herself.
Yeah.
I felt so bad.
I did think, I thought Jeff's react. It's no, are you telling me there's no book club?
Yes.
But when he gets told that it's Randy, he's like, my best friend. And he's like hunched over. And just
he has the same like hair thing happening. Yeah.
This guy's life has just been like tremendously upset from the moment that since he tried to blackmail his wife, I guess. So whatever. But yeah, I mean, this storyline is fine. Kevin Tan and Matt going to the whole thing is like, it's a bit weird, you know, but and then freaking Randy can't even like, I don't, you know, I'm like, not that I, you know, the like instructions to go in the bed, but then he fumbles the whole thing. And so like, you know, still onto him. And also Matt now knows, like Kevin points out, Callie knows that Matt's a cop. So it's like, you know, there's a lot, like kind of like nobody seems to be doing great in this situation.
Yeah, we're seeing, like I was saying before, that Shauna isn't infallible. I feel like the main error here is literally the same day Callie is acting a little weird around the undercover cop. Shauna says, text him right now and tell him I'm going to Randy's tonight. Yeah. Like, that's a bit all too soon. I feel like they took it one step too far. Why even, like, what if you didn't have a condom? Right? Like, I think there's like ways around what they were doing where you don't have to have Randy go in the bathroom and jerk off into a condom. Like, there's just ways around all of this. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I do agree with you that something I really treasured about season one that we haven't gotten a ton of this season is just the adult Yellow Jackets getting together, especially Shauna feels like she's just been like so far removed from everything.
The whole thing. Season one, she's with Adam the whole
time.
Yeah,
and a part of me just wants Melanie Lynskey to be more in the mix with some of these other Yellow Jackets.
I thought we were going to get close because I thought that Randy, her being Randy, and she was going to like, he was going to spill something about how it's Misty.
Well, he didn't spill enough, you know?
That's true. So, I mean, I will give some credo to Randy, who loves his wife so much that he can't even end up doing this, and he tries, but he ends up using strawberry.
But, like, and shame on you, Randy, for eating all the Fritos. What if Shauna wanted some of those?
That's true.
I love how she has to say to you, like, don't even think of me in there. And he goes, scouts on her. This storyline is, again, it's fine. It's not as bad as the Adam storyline, I will say. I prefer it to the season one Adam stuff.
I would agree. I think the Yellow Jackets reunited. Like, I do think the mother-daughter stuff that her mom, she's been such a, like, rebellious teenager. And it's, you know, the weird thing where they're bonding over committing crimes. So it's like,
Yeah. Okay, we have to get to it. We have to get to Van and Ty. Lauren Ambrose is now officially in the show. Mm-hmm. And I loved this. We find out the story behind the nudie pen. And we get to see Ty's apartment. We get to see a little bit of a view into her life. And they do play it a little bit vague in terms of when the last time Ty and Van saw each other. They kind of say, oh, it's been a long time, that, you know, but it seems
they
like
they talk
that.
About Shauna's wedding. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, we saw the pictures that happened very soon after they got back. Right. So that didn't seem to be, you know, that's a very long time ago. Now I have to ask you, because you know me, I consider myself to be an amateur detective. Mm-hmm. And I tried to sleuth, and I looked as much as I possibly could at that Oxycontin bottle, and it did say V. Palmer, but it did not have a date on it.
Yeah, that's Van's. I think she has a very good cover story with, like, it's my mom, she had cancer, but I think that's absolutely Van's. She pulls
the way she dug those out of the trash. Like, she waited until Ty was asleep, and then you see her, like, rummage very quickly. It feels to me like a bit of a, like, I need this right now type of thing.
Yeah, so this is really, you know, multiple people can have addiction storylines on the show, but that's obviously something that Nat is struggling with. And so now is going to be something that Van will struggle with, I presume, once they leave. And again, I do think that for me, my best guess, like, why do Van and Ty have a falling out? I think there definitely is just a case to be made that sometimes when people go through a very hard thing together, it's very hard to stay in that, like, there's so much baggage and it was just such a hard time. And it's like, it worked kind of like while they were in the most intense situation, which is the wilderness. But once they came back, it's like, yeah, okay, it's not working at the moment.
It's a constant reminder of that trauma as well, which, again, for some people, maybe your Nats and Travis's, you lean in. But Van and Ty maybe don't necessarily work as well once they get back, because it seems like Ty hasn't had these, like, sleepwalking issues in a very long time. The other option is the Lottie of it all, right? Like, seemingly Ty is getting looped into this, like, the tree cult is what Shauna calls it. Mm-hmm. But what if Van dives in too deep and Ty pulls away a little bit? We know they're together at the wedding, like you said. Or at least presumably they played a prank together. So you kind of assume they were together, but yeah, it's really fascinating. And I hope that we get to, cause it seems like Van is not eager to rehash the, like, why didn't we work together? Right. When Ty kind of, brings it up.
Did they give an indication of who broke up with who?
They didn't.
Yeah. So my best guess in terms of why Van might have, you know, be doing Oxy is that when they return home, like, Ty has almost been Ty's caregiver to an extent. I do still worry about, she also uses Ty to find the symbols, right? She's like, let me follow you, yes, while you're sleepwalking. So my fear was that Van would use Ty's alter ego at times to do whatever Lottie might want to do, is this helping her, but also I can like turn it on whenever we want, and we can go, you know, we get whatever Lottie needs done. And then when they come back, like some combination of like that, you know, what actually happened out there, plus if like what a toll it might be for Van to still have to be the caretaker, like, you know, with some degree of like, even if Ty's just worried that, yeah, she is going to sleepwalk and her alter ego will come up, and Van being like, this is too much responsibility for me to have to take on. So all of that sort of stuff of like what we did in the past, plus this complicated relationship leading to Van taking Oxy all the time and that being an issue. Yeah. And it does seem like Ty is like, she's like, what is this? You know, like, why do you have this? So definitely her addiction, like Van's addiction to Oxy is something that I think we'll see. She's aware.
Yeah, it seems like, Ty is snooping a little bit, but she does come out very confrontational, like, immediately.
And Van is defensive, like, you know, and lies, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so there is something there. I also think it's fascinating that Van says, like, why are you even pretending like I'm going to let you leave? I'm going to obviously help you. So at least give me the courtesy of asking for my help, because I'm obviously not going to let you leave like this. And then of course, the very end of their scenes together, we get Ty going into her alter state, kissing Van, and Van immediately knowing and recognizing, you're not Ty, you're the other one.
We're in the wrong place. Where are they going?
Yeah, I don't know. Obviously, we know Ty's alter is the one who kind of sent her on this path to find Van. Right. I have to assume that this is going to lead and segue into, we have to go back, right? We have to go back to the wilderness. That it is Ty's alter who is going to be like, who is in more of the know, I guess is what I would put, how I would put it. That they know more about what is going on spiritually or supernaturally. And that they are going to be the ones leading the cause on all of that. But I do just have to say, breakout episode for Lauren Ambrose. I am so thrilled she's part of this cast. And I felt like she plays she Van so like beautifully. Van.
Agreed.
Knowing that she had a whole season of examples to kind of watch and then mimic off of. I felt like it was like those shoes were already broken in and she just slid right on into them. And it was really seamless transition.
Yeah, I feel like we're not quite close enough, I guess. So we've learned that there's 9 episodes a season. It's not 10.
Yes.
There's going to be a break, I believe, next week or the week after. I can't remember, but which is weird. So weird on a streaming
show. It is very strange in a streaming day, but yeah, it's strange.
So 4 more episodes after this one.
Yep.
It feels a little too soon for critical mass, like we're all get together. But I feel like there's like the
end compound. Of the season.
I do think by the end of the season, for sure, it does feel like the compound is the most likely spot before and potentially like a meeting at the compound. Then like we got to go. And that's like the finale. But I do feel like you could get pretty. So I think 2 things. You could get pretty close by getting Van to go to the compound, Van and Ty to go to the compound. Yep. Or as Ty and Van are trying to get to the compound, as like Ty wakes up out of her thing being like, hey, Shauna, I don't know what's going on and I need your help. And then like Shauna being with like Van and Ty before they get. And so then you have them and now you'd have Nat, Misty and Lottie all together. So I feel like you could have these like 2 trios before they like all meet up, I think. In my theorizing brain, that's a little bit of what I'm.
No, I do agree with you. I think that's probably about the timeline or, you know, that of events that we're probably going to get.
And then
I would
be
surprised.
Like Kevin and Matt following like Shauna and Van and then being like, oh my God, her wife is in the, I think there's a lot. Yeah.
I think that by the next season, because we have a confirmed 3rd season that we're going to get them heading out, if not already
we'll swap,
in the wilderness.
Right? I think we'll swap.
Oh, like we'll see the 1996 crew return.
Like it's 1998
and the present day
are going back.
That would be fascinating. And I honestly, I would respect that choice. I think that's a really interesting thing to get. So
I mean, My predictions are always wrong, but it's fun to theorize. So
it's and this is the show for it. Like, I feel like there is so much you can dig into, which is what we will be doing on the deep dive this week. I'm going to be joined, of course, by Marissa, my co-host. And then we'll have a little bit of a versus podcast later this week as well. I'm going to be substituting in for Josh, who is on vacation. But if you want to send in theories, feedback, FYI, this is not like a podcast feedback, more of show feedback. PosherRecaps.com/buzz is where you could do that.
Give us your iTunes ratings if you want to rate the podcast.
Please.
If you rise too much, 1 star.
We do appreciate your ratings, but if you have reviews, leave them on the iTunes reviews, not in that feedback form. It does come directly to my Gmail. PosherRecaps.com/yellowjackets is where you can subscribe to the podcast. Of course, we also have a ton of other podcasts going on. Ted Lasso, Succession, some of the big ones. Mando just ended. PosherRecaps.com/subscribe if you want to see some of the top shows we're covering. And of course, if you want to be a wonderful member of our Patreon community, patreon.com/PosherRecaps, you'll get ad-free versions of all of these podcasts. Grace, what do you have going on?
In addition to Succession and Yellow Jackets, also doing a Dark rewatch pod, which has been very fun. We're about halfway through season two, about halfway through the show, and Ariel and I are covering movies each week. We chatted about Renfield. We had the real Dracula on the pod, Jess. Did you know that we had the real Dracula? Yeah. Yes. Oh, it was very fun to be on. Yes.
Thanks, Dracula, is that John Lennon Dracula?
Yeah, we've had the real John Lennon on as well. Yeah. I'm on Twitter at @HiFromGrace.
You can find me at the Jess Sterling. Of course, I'm mostly talking Succession and Yellow Jackets because that's all my brain can think about lately. But we'll be back in just a couple of days with the deep dive. And next week, of course, I think next week this is skip week. So it'll be a little while until we talk again. But until then, a licky boom boom down.
Mother, tell your children not to walk my way. Tell your children not to hear my words, what they mean, what they say. Mother.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.